141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European action. Hearts are underway against FC Zurich in their Europa League playoff. Rangers are getting over Tuesday's draw with PSV Eindhoven and turning their attentions back to league football. And could Robert Snodgrass be on his way to Motherwell? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, we're never far away from a big game, it seems, at this early stage of the season. No sooner are we finished with the Rangers game on Tuesday and we're watching Hearts now against Zurich, and it's going to be a tough evening for Robbie Nielsen's side. They've started the season well, but this Zurich side were in the Champions League qualifiers and knocked out and dropped down to this stage. They will be a challenge, but they're not at Zurich's home ground, so they've every chance tonight, and fingers crossed to do it.
Yeah, and I think Hearts will fancy this. The fact that Zurich, as Mark rightly said, they're not setting the heather on fire in the league, sitting 10th, five games played, Gordon, still to get a win. So if Hearts can go across here and get a real positive result, I think they will fancy it in a packed Tynecastle. And lovely to see you two guys have made it tonight. I was really disappointed. I thought the full show was going to be my own. I was rehearsing all the way into Barton Road.
I was going to wait and maybe tell us a bit later on, and you've just landed us in it. So if the show is even more chaotic than normal, I need you all to know Gordon DL almost had to host this show.
Would have been amazing
on his own. Mark Wilson and I were both at the same golf day at the Carrick, and there was a little bit of an issue with the traffic, and we arrived at 5:45 for a 6 o'clock start.
Sweat on.
Now, bear in mind, to put that into some context, pre-COVID, when everything was normal, I used to arrive in this office at 4 o'clock for a 6 o'clock start. 5:45 is the latest ever that you could possibly even imagine getting away with. And I phoned him on the way down, and I said, look, you might need to just open the show. Can you imagine?
I was practicing all the way down the back.
What were you doing? Give us a bit.
I'll give you it later.
He was relishing his moment. He phoned me just after you, and he says, I hope you're late. Now, what kind of attitude is that?
Come on, give us a bit. Tell us how you were going to introduce the show.
No, at all. Welcome to Thursday Night Super Scoreboard. Unfortunately, Gordon Duncan usually hosts the show, can't be here because of traffic duties.
And Mark,
he wasn't working at the traffic lights.
Mark the Mushroom Wilson, unfortunately, has two cars in front of
that's
him.
That's too long.
So
everybody's falling asleep. Oh, everybody's asleep.
Thank God you made it, Gordon.
0141 951 1025.
I never write out the number. That was my next gambit.
0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Come on then, let's hear from you on the phones. And it really is up to you, because it's not been a hugely busy day in itself. We're in an interesting situation where the Hearts game is on right now. It's just kicked off, so we can talk our way through that. Rangers fans, it was really busy on the phones last night. Loads of you wouldn't have got through. So if you've got any other thoughts on PSV Eindhoven, let's get them. Let's do that. Let's round them off. Celtic fans, what are you thinking? There's little bits and pieces, little transfer rumours, if you like, doing the rounds, but nothing concrete at the moment. So whatever is on your mind. What about Robert Snodgrass to Motherwell? Is that one that excites you, Motherwell fans, if it would happen? 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now and we'll speak to you soon.
Hearts making a substitution already, Gordon. That's a blow. Massive.
Big blow for Hearts early on. 6 minutes on the clock, FC Zurich 0, Hearts 0. I was about to read out the Hearts starting 11, and it's changed already, because Craig Halkett, he's slid in to try and intercept a ball. Looks like his leg, it sort of caught under him, maybe a bit of discomfort in the knee, and he's coming off already to be replaced by Toby Sibbick.
I'm not surprised at that, because I think it was right, and the reason, just bear with me, because I was nearly hosting. I watched the game on Sunday. Obviously, I was laid up in the house, and I decided to watch the Hearts game. And just at the end of the game against Dundee United, he picked up an injury. He went off, and they brought him back on. And I looked at him, and he looked in discomfort. He slid in tonight. I just think that's from the weekend on
really?
To tonight. Yeah, I really do, Gordon.
Looked like he landed heavily on that sort of left knee mark. His leg was bent, so that the lower leg was kind of stuck under him as he... Yeah, slithering.
Yeah, it certainly is a blow. You know, particularly in that position where you're going to need your you know, your back three and your goalkeeper to have a big night away from home in Europe. And if Robbie Nielsen, you know, he picks it, Sibbick's a good player, but he's picked his strongest three there. And if you lose one so early on,
yeah,
it's not ideal preparation.
Yeah, they've gone with the back three tonight. Like I say, those plans are already up in the air a little bit. Toby Sibbick coming on for Craig Halkett is goalless. I will quickly give you the team for what it's worth in case it changes any more. Obviously Craig Gordon in goal. It was Halkett, Kingsley and Rowles at the back, with Atkinson and Cochrane the wing backs. Cammy Devlin, Peter Haring, George Grant, Lawrence Shankland and Barry Mackay the more attacking options there. And loads of familiar names on the bench, chief among them Andy Halliday, Alan Forrest, Gary Mackay, Stephen, Liam Boyce, etc, etc. A big bench in Europe. Massive night for Hearts. I've been excited about this game.
Yeah, and I said they'll get into this with a bit of confidence. I'd done a bit of homework on them at the weekend there. I've got to say, the one guy that's impressing me massively with Hearts is Barry Mackay.
He's your new favourite, isn't
he? Yeah, he's honestly.
No, seriously, I actually teased this on last night's show. He has opened up a space. You know, he's got his set amount of favourites.
Yeah.
Scott Arfield's still in there. Mm-hmm. Tom Rogic left, so there was a space.
Mackay.
And Barry Mackay has been nominated to take the space.
Barry Mackay at this moment in time is one of the best players in Scottish football, and I'm not kidding you on with
anything that. To do with you, was that, did you coach him?
Yeah,
for
I did
a bit?
Yeah, and he's reaping the benefits now. But his passing range, he's scoring goals, his touch, he's just improved as an all-round player. And I think it's just the fact that he went down south, he's come back up, he's found a club he feels very comfortable with, Gordon. He's got brilliant natural ability. I think the Hearts fans love watching this boy.
I mean, Mark, the chance over these two legs for Hearts to go straight into the Europa League groups, that is incredible. You know, everything's relative. If we're talking about the carrot and the size of what Rangers might be able to go on and do, how good would that be to have Hearts in the Europa League groups? And we had a Hearts fan on last night who called this the ultimate free hit, because if Hearts do end up in the Conference League groups, then that's great as well.
Yeah, because I think when you take out our big two, your mind sometimes just jumps to, our teams must be in the Conference League, that must be a qualifier. But you're right, when you've seen this was a Europa League playoff, it's huge, because over the years, some of the teams that compete in those group stages are huge. We chat about it all the time. This has got a Champions League feel about it, this kind of Europa League group game. And that's what faces Hearts. If they can get out of here without a defeat tonight, then you would fancy them at Tynecastle. You know, you wouldn't really be fearing Zurich the same way as you do some of the bigger hitters in Europe. And with that crowd there, it will make a difference. Hearts have got players, hugely experienced players, played at a high level, can deal with the pressure. And if they get to the group stages, financially as well, for Hearts, it's massive. But I'm sure the support will be desperate to sample some of the big European nights again at Tynecastle.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mark. And fact is, I said earlier, Gordon, if they can keep their selling this tie, you know what, like Tynecastle is, it'll be absolutely bouncing. Terrific atmosphere there. If they're still in the tie, I think Robbie Nielsen will fancy it big time. But tonight's so important. He's going up against a team that's not playing with a lot of confidence. I know what Mark's saying, they're a decent side, but they're not playing with a lot of confidence. They're sitting 10th in this league. They've not won a game in the first five, so it's a great opportunity for them, but they've got to defend well tonight. And as we all agree, I think a big blow losing Halkett. He's one of the best defenders.
Oh dear, and that was not good defending. Tell me the flag's gone up. It has to have gone up, or Hearts got that drastically wrong. Either way, it's... Let's get another look at it.
Just
the five men offside, was it?
Yeah,
that's good, a great line from Hearts. There we go. Anyway, FC Zurich 0, Hearts 0. We'll take you through that. We'll look at everything else that's out there today, and we need your company. 0141 951 1025. And Ross in Pollock is going to kick things off. How's it going, Ross?
Hi, Gordon. Mark. Gordon, how are you?
All good, thank you. Yeah, yourself?
Ross. All good. I'm good. Just a quick point on Celtic tonight. Mm-hmm. The Champions League draw is next week, and I'm obviously under the impression, I think Celtic are holding out to maybe see who we get before we maybe bring another one or two in. Do you see the guys agree with that, or do they think Celtic's business is done?
Well, Mark, what do you think about that?
I don't think business is done, but I don't know what the point would be holding off to see who they get. What difference would it make if Celtic get Real Madrid to another team? What difference would that make it about who to bring in?
Were they not linked to a winger today? I was seeing Gordon. Yep. I think there's some. I don't think the business is done with Celtic yet. I think they've, look, if the window closed now, I think every Celtic fan would be happy with the squad. I think they've got a very strong, powerful squad. But see, as a coach or a manager, you're always wanting to add more because of the amount of games that they're going to have to play this season.
Ross, in answer to Mark's question, what is your theory there about, you know, depending on the opposition?
I think if Celtic get drawn against Real Madrid, I'm not saying, Mark, that we're going to go and compete. No way. I'm just saying that if Celtic maybe get a lesser draw, that maybe you think, right, okay, Celtic maybe look at that and think maybe if we add a bit of quality, it might help us to get through. That was my thinking was with that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe work the other way. If they get a lesser draw, maybe Ange Postecoglou looks at his squad and thinks, I've got enough here. You know, you bring good players in to compete with the best players. So if you get a big name or a couple of big names, which I actually think I've got feeling Celtic
for what it's
will,
worth, Hacks Ivanovic is a big name
in
the truest sense of the
Scrabble.
Word. And I hope that he signs to hear you two butcher it every Thursday night.
Matt, just in your
that's the one you've been linked with that you mentioned.
Yeah, just in your opinion, I'm settling into this role here as hosting the show.
By the way, as he's starting throwing questions,
it's not your gestures.
Job. Just in your opinion, do you think that that's a position Celtic need filled just now?
Yes.
A winger?
No. Listen, you said, and we said a couple of weeks ago, if you get offered the right player, even if you've got Jota, Maeda, Fodor, whoever else on the wing, if you get the right quality player, you're going to take him for competition. You're going to take good players. The Barcelona boy a few weeks ago who moved on, if Ange Postecoglou, it was realistic.
Oh, he would have brought almost in there. Ross, I mean, every week at the moment, Ange Postecoglou gets asked about it. And to paraphrase, it's something along the lines of, we're not desperate, but if something's there, you know, we'd take a look at it. It doesn't seem like it's, you know, there's an absolute need for Celtic to bring players in when you listen to the manager. Could be wrong.
No, I'm totally, I think for me, another striker, definitely. I don't think we could go and compete in Europe with disrespect to Giomarcus or Kyogo, but I just feel like we need a bit of quality because in Europe you're going to face tougher teams than what we're used to. So I do feel like we're maybe a bit weak going forward. Maybe in the wing, again, you've only got Maeda and Jota and then Abada and obviously Forrest is there as well. But I feel like as well a bit of quality is maybe needed when you get to that European stage. So one or two for me.
But is there and I know it sounds defeatist, Ross, but I wonder, is there a case to say that, you know, that gap between some of the Champions League side, you know, it's so big anyway, the notion that Kyogo and Giakoumakis aren't good enough and Celtic needs something better. Can Celtic realistically get something that's guaranteed better than them? Because they've been pretty good, have they not?
No, they have been good. I'm not sitting here saying that we're not being good. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm just saying that I think when you look at the gap from where Celtic are domestically to the European stage, sometimes that bit of quality is what you need to try and get you through the group, like into the Europa League and try and get you through the stages. Again, as I say, I just feel like going forward in the striker positions, if you take away Giomarcus and Kyogo, we're kind of left short. We've only really got two strikers. We've not really got anybody else. So I just feel like another striker, maybe, if we just try and get us through that European stage.
Ross is right to an extent. See, when you get to the Champions League stage, at the top end of the pitch, the difference in quality, even for Europa League, is huge. So if you've got that absolute diamond who can pull something out of a counter attack, then of course you're going to do better. But it comes with a price.
It just feels like this is now, we're on to a different level here, because there has been discussions about adding more depth. Mm-hmm. We're now on to this idea that Celtic need to sign a new number one striker. That surprises me, because I thought that Kyogo and Giakoumakis were massive fans' favourites. And in fairness to Ross, I'm not, he is saying, you know, he likes them and he thinks they're good players, but will Celtic really upgrade both of them?
No, absolutely no. I think that would be a very difficult job. You would need to really burst the bank for that. I think the two guys up, where I do agree with Ross, and I said it three weeks ago in this show, if I was offered another centre forward, I'd certainly take him. And people say, well, how can you keep three centre forwards happy? They've got a lot of midfield players, excuse me, quality midfield players. The manager's very good at man managing. I agree with Ross that you can't leave yourself short.
You alright?
I'm glad you weren't hosting the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I was all the practice and I was doing the car. But I don't think you're going to get better quality in the two guys. I think Hugo and Jackie Marcus, for where Celtic are, whether it's Champions League or whatever it may be, I think they're as good as what you're going to get for your money. No doubt about that.
18 gone, Hearts are got a bit of defending to do. Peter Haring's just given a free kick away. You know, there was one really good counter attack from Hearts. It was sharp, it was quick in the middle of the park, and it was just missing that final pass, and they were almost in.
That's what Hearts are good at. They're set up. You know, they've got Shanklin, who's mobile, but Mackay behind them. They're set up to defend deep and hitting the counter, and it almost paid off there. So we need to keep going along those lines, but they're inviting a wee bit of pressure onto themselves just now as well. Sibbick with a brilliant block to deny a goal.
Oh. Craig Gordon's had to make a smart save. He gets it at the second time of asking. First one was a bit too powerful to hang on to.
That actually stung the fingers of Craig Gordon. No doubt in that, Gordon. It was absolutely flying, but his positioning was good. Got it a second time. It takes
his
a good
positioning. It's good. Standing right in the middle of the goal.
Exactly. That's where the ball went.
Where do you want him to stand?
Well, he's got a wall. He could have stood in the other side of the wall and get beaten.
He's on you tonight. I think there's something.
Yeah.
Scotty phoned me up and says he wanted me to miss the show.
I think he's threatened because you are next in line to host the show.
He knows I'm next in line.
And
I've got that crown. I'm ready to go. And I've been practicing, let me tell you now.
How bad must I have to be second in line?
Well, you've got to earn your stripes, son. I've done that. I've been through the good one.
You were going to leave on Saturday halfway through the show.
Yeah, but
that was a stomach issue. Thank you to Ross. Let's bring in Ian, who's also a Celtic fan. A bit of talk about signings there, Ian. It's been a fairly quiet few weeks on that front. What's your take on Celtic's business?
Yeah, I'm quite happy. It's good to see that we're selective and, you know, try to get deals over the line. So I was actually just phoning just to see what you guys thought of the, I think he pronounced his name Hakas Bansanovic.
Sort of something along those lines, I think. But we'll be even worse at it, Ian. So
yeah, we're calling him the winger.
I'll go Haksabanovic, I think. Unless I've typed it out wrong. From Ruben Kazan, yes, a winger. I think they spell at West Ham. Talking about, you know, five kind of million euros, something like that. Is that an area you'd like to see, Ian?
I'm not complaining. I'd rather see a defensive midfielder come into the club, but I'm not really sure how he fits in either, because obviously Jota can play either side. Maid is there, Forrest is there, Abad is there. I feel that we've got an abundance of players in that area, but if Ange wants him through, I trust Ange Postecoglou.
Have Hearts just been given a penalty?
I think so. I'm
or just the reaction
back
of the Zurich players.
And I'm sorry, Ian, because it's a really good point, and we will get to that's got to stand. If VR's looking at that, surely Atkinson takes a stud right on the ankle.
It looks like he has. I think the referee's got the yellow card out as well.
I hope so. It'll be what a start this would be, because it's been a little bit backs to the wall. Lauren Shanklin to anyone? Liam Boyce, who's got the responsibility?
Is it Boyce that usually takes
it? Neither. It's George Grant.
Oh, Grant.
I think with the ball in his hands, scored at the weekend, didn't he? I made that up.
I watched the game. Barry Mackay scored.
Yeah, I did. You stick with me. That's why I'm on this side of the desk.
Yeah. I thought you were doing your homework.
I was watching. Remember who scored? Tactically, I wasn't counting the goals.
Right, it's taken a bit of a long time to take the penalty. I don't want to break away from it just yet. Ian does make some good points that we need to. Oh no, Shankland. He's given it to Shankland now. Past the parcel. He's handed the ball over. I don't know whether that was at Robbie Nielsen's request or whether Shankland pulled rank or whatever the script was. Now, Lauren Shankland's no stranger to big penalties.
Well, he scored at the weekend.
Scored one for Scotland, didn't he? Against Israel in our semi-final of the playoffs en route to the Euros.
Yeah.
I fancy him strongly, Gordon. This would be a terrific.
The keeper is massive.
Yeah. His head's nearly hitting the crossbar.
Oh dear.
He has to duck to get on the line.
Here comes Lauren Shankland, and it's a goal. Hearts lead 1-0 in Zurich. What a start that is. Great penalty, Lauren Shankland. Apologies, Ian. What do you think of Ian's point, Mark? He would like a sort of defensive midfielder. He thinks in the wing wide areas there are options there.
See, to be honest, I've been saying over the summer, defensive midfielder, if there's one position that I think Celtic should have went for, it was that. Someone to lighten the load from Callum McGregor. Now, Moy, people might have earmarked him as that, but I think you can quite clearly see isn't going to be that. So I think there is room to bring someone with a bit of stature in for the bigger games. And that's not saying to drop McGregor, it's maybe saying to play alongside McGregor, someone more defensive minded. So I think it's pretty open to bring someone
see,
in there.
See him on Haksabanovic, mm-hmm. Gordon, if this is now Alex Coyardo a couple of weeks ago, you know, fair enough, that one didn't come off. We don't know if this is guaranteed, but it certainly looks like is that wide area, which goes back to Ian mentions guys, you know, like James Forrest. Does this mean that actually, although he says that, you know, Ange Postecoglou is great at backing his players, and I think he did make comments about James Forrest, but why are they looking in that area? Who is it that is not doing it for him?
They may just look to double up two players going for the right and the left. You know, you've got Jota, Maeda can play, okay. Abada, Forrest, obviously.
That's three then on that side.
Yeah, they may just look for a player that can, you know, go between the right and the left. You know, he looks at it, he's a very attacking minded manager, you know that.
Yeah, right. That is the thing.
I totally agree, Mark. There's a lot of arguments out there to say, why has he not brought that sitting midfield player in to help McGregor and sit there in different games? That's not his style. He's never going to change. We know that. He's more of, he'll rather bring in an attacking winger with a bit of pace that's direct, that's going to light up games and excite the fans. That's the way the guy wants to play. I think Celtic fans love that. I like watching them when they're in that sort of a, you know, frame of mind. I think they play some terrific football. So I'm not surprised that he's going for a sort of an attacking player, because that's his style. He's an attacking manager.
Does that maybe answer, Ian, why, despite you and Mark Wilson not necessarily agreeing, maybe a sort of traditional defensive midfielder, is that maybe just not in the Ange Postecoglou playbook?
Oh, I'm still quite happy for McGregor to play there, because if needs be, somebody can come on. I mean, ideally, I wouldn't like to see Moy come on, but he doesn't look very mobile. But I think McGregor's good enough to play anywhere in that midfield. But I was reading on Twitter that he can play as a number 10 as well, so maybe he's been brought in to play ahead of McGregor, and not in the team, just ahead
in front of him.
yeah. So maybe that's the case. But guys, can I just bring up one more thing? It's on Sunday, we're trying to organise a minute's applause in the 7th minute for a young guy called Patrick Parker, who took his own life. So we're really just trying to sort of give that a wee bit of exposure. But so.
Sorry to hear that, Ian. And absolutely, I'm sure these types of things are usually well supported, well backed amongst football fans, and we know that's an issue that impacts a lot of football fans. So certainly don't mind you bringing that up. That was Ian in Paisley. Thank you for the call, Ian. FC Zurich 0 Hearts 1. A brilliant start for Robbie Nielsen's side. It's been a tough defensive performance, but they've taken their moment, got up the pitch, got a deserved penalty, and Lauren Shanklin dispatched it expertly. So I'll keep you up to date on that. And please, now's a great time. 01419511025. You could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dieler here. It's 01419511025, and it's a good night if you're a Hearts fan so far. It didn't start great because Craig Halkett had to go off injured, but Lauren Shanklin's penalty has Hearts 1-0 up in Zurich with 30 minutes on the clock. My main worry, Mark Wilson, is that this game gets called off because the pitch is looking a bit wet over in that corner.
It's not looking great over in Hearts' right side. There's a lot of standing water, and you see it when Zurich are taking a corner kick, and the rain is still on, and that must be a concern. It looks okay everywhere else, but you can just see the short corner going in there. It's actually starting to hold up, so fingers crossed the rain goes off and the game continues. Because Hearts are actually, once they've went one up, they actually look better. The better side, they've had a few counter-attacks, I think, with a right pass, Atkinson could have been in again. So they're looking good for it at the minute.
Yeah, I think they've just got to make sure there's a chance here. Yeah, they're looking good. Looking really good.
Come on. FC Zurich 1, Hearts 1. The equaliser is dispatched beyond Craig Gordon. Nothing he could do about it. Emphatic finish. And we are level. Of course, it's not even in Zurich, is it? But there we are.
And that's why he gets paid the big money, for the big calls. Go on yourself.
I mean,
Mark,
you couldn't see that coming. It's a long ball.
Well, Craig Gordon couldn't.
And the boy, you know, swivels and volleys it. Terrible defending. It's Atkinson actually who won the penalty. gets dragged in. He just gets nudged. Too easy.
What a finish it is.
Yeah. Craig Gordon's absolutely no chance. Terrible defending, Mark rightly says, but that's a top class finish. Gives the goalkeeper no chance. See, if you're a manager, you're so disappointed. Long ball from the goalkeeper over the back here. That should never have been able to for a lad to get in behind. But they've went to sleep and they've been punished.
No away goals, of course. So Hart's going to have to do it and try and go in front again if they can on the night. But you know what? They've had some nice moments. That's brilliant from George Grant. Really nice footwork. Shankland had some nice moments a few moments ago as well. Let's keep an eye on that one at the same time as taking calls, which is never easy. We'll try our best. Graham's a Rangers fan from Easterhouse. What's on your mind tonight, Graham?
All right. Just a couple of points about the game there, mate. Mm-hmm. We're all about Sands playing at centre half. Why did he give big Leon King a wee shot at that? He's no much younger than Malik Tillman. Must be because he came for Bayern Munich. They should have given the boy a wee shot at that, I think.
What was wrong with James Sands' performance the other night, Graham?
No, but I'm just saying, if you're a young Scottish boy, you're not going to go to Rangers or Celtic, and you know, it's just not even giving him a wee chance.
Gordon, what do you think? Because, I don't know, we keep, sometimes what happens is, you know, an opinion sets in, mm-hmm. and then, I mean, last night, for instance, we had loads of criticism of John McLaughlin, who, based on purely on Tuesday, didn't really do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I thought by all, most people seemed to think James Sands played quite well on Tuesday.
Mark had concerns on Tuesday night and
before the game
I thought, watching the game, obviously we catch up with it, Gordon, I thought James Sands played particularly well. I thought he had a very good game. I totally understand what Graham's saying about King. I've said in the programme, I'm a fan of the lad. I think he's a terrific prospect. Unfortunately, just now he's been used sparingly as a sub. I think he needs to, at this stage of his career, get somewhere that he's got to get game time, get a bit of experience under his belt. I don't know if it's going to be at Rangers.
Hearts are behind already, really making heavy weather of the defending now, and the ball falls across maybe 12 yards out, lashed high beyond Craig Gordon Zimali with the finish. Was it Atkinson again? Mark sort of threw himself at the ball, didn't the get post. There.
Now tough. We're hoping for rain.
Yeah, tough evening.
But I like King, but there's a lot of competition there, and there's a lot of good players, good quality players, and it looks like he's just going to be a squad player just now. Obviously, the benefit he's got, Gordon, is he's training there, he's getting the best of training day in, day out. He's training with very, very good players. He'll be learning on the training ground as well, working away with a very, very good coach and backroom staff. That's a plus. But for me, I think game time's so important for a boy. I think he's got to look now to say, I need to go somewhere, I'm going to get games.
I mean, broadly speaking, Mark, Graham's right. He's not much younger than Malik Tillman. Something about a centre-half, though, isn't there? It's just rarer to see 18-year-olds getting pitched in at centre-half. And by the way, again, we're now talking as if Rangers really need it. I thought you thought James Sands was fine the other night, so does Gordon. Ben Davis won't be injured forever. John Souter won't be injured forever. So,
yeah, listen, James Sands for me is a stopgap at the minute until those guys are back fit. If I was Leon King, I probably would be saying, when am I going to get my chance? The difficulty he's got is, when you look at James Sands, he's a full international player. When it gets to these big games, managers are always looking that favourably. And the other night, you're right, did very little wrong. But he's never going to be a long term fix for Rangers in that position. But he was fine the other night.
Graham, overall, do you feel Rangers will still go and do the business over there?
It'll be pretty difficult, but we were the first team to beat PSV in a European tie in our home ground, so we could do it again, I think.
I like that bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I've no idea if it's true, but I'm sure Graham is a man of his word.
Is this the one Bobby Russell scored the winner?
Is that Graham?
Russell scored and McLean scored. We've been doing 1-1 after about 30 seconds or something.
Yeah, Bobby Russell scored a terrific goal. Was it 3-2? 3-2? Am I right in saying that?
We're relying on you.
I remember a goal.
Amazing knowledge, right, for him. Because bear in mind, he couldn't remember who scored for Hearts, and he watched the game on Sunday.
In the weekend, yeah.
But he remembers that. That's amazing.
Yeah, good on you.
It's just what it's all about. It's research. I knew that Graham would probably bring that up tonight.
Didn't know that PSV played in Eindhoven and not Amsterdam.
I was a bit unflattered. I sort of thought that I'd drifted away.
No, I don't think so.
Not a lot of people talking about that. I have taken a little bit of stick with it, but who cares?
Well, we'll get back to that, I'm sure. Thank you, Graham, in Easterhouse. Stuart is just along the road from Easterhouse. He's in the OC, California. How's it going, Stuart?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it. I'm from the Orange County Rangers Club. I listen and I try to call in, just enjoy it. I need to get this James Sands thing put to bed. And by the way, not only did we were the first team to beat PSV Eindhoven, we were the first team ever to score two goals against them in that stadium. They scored after 16 seconds. We hadn't even finished our first beer yet. And we were doing 1-0, and then we put on the performance of our lives that night.
There's good knowledge everywhere. I like it. Right, what about James Sands?
Okay, right, listen. Let's just take the last game just to make it easy. Right, 90 minutes, 88 passes completed. 88 attempts, all completed. Tackles, 14, 100% tackles. 7 out of 9 accurate long balls. The other two were played off and went for a tackle, committed a tackle. Ground duels, 100%. 6 balls retrieved from other mistakes, 2 interceptions, 3 clearances, and 0 dispossessed from anybody. Solid game from him. That's for the US national team statistics that I have a privilege of having access to. The guy had literally a perfect game. And these guys are, just because he's not flamboyant, you're a big suit or a big butcher in there, right? They're big and flamboyant and getting in there. The guy has been trained to read a game like a book. Watch when Goldson moves, or watch when Tav cuts in, or Tom Longs pulls in for the left. Watch how he just moves left and right at the back there. Honest to God, because he's reading a game and he moves into space. I hate zone play, but he does move in there. He's reading the next move before it happens. He's 2 steps ahead of the game, and that's why he has 100% record in tackles. There's no another Rangers player done that this year. I can't give any other example because I just happen to have this.
I love the research, sure, that's for sure. And Gordon, it backs up what we're saying. It's a trait that we have. Sometimes you come up with an opinion and you want to double down on it and you stick with it and you become entrenched in it. It seems like there's a certain amount of people who weren't having James Sands before Tuesday, so I've just decided that after Tuesday they're still not having him, which in one sense you're allowed to do, but the timing is strange. You have to acknowledge that he played well the other night.
Yeah, and if Stuart can rewind to Tuesday, he'll hear me saying that, you know, I'd every belief that Sands could get into that position and play very, very well. And tonight I think Mark and I have both complimented him for his performance. It's about growing into playing for clubs like Rangers and Celtic. Sometimes it takes a bit of time. I thought he played very well, but I've not got the stats, obviously, Stuart, read out there, very impressed with that. But James Sands deserved his place the other night. It'll be interesting to see when everybody's fit, that if he's got to continue in there, because if Stuart gives Gio a phone with those stats, it's going to be hard to drop him.
But do you think he did deserve his place the other night?
Davis wasn't available.
No, well, I think if Ben Davis was available... Stuart's got all the stats there, right? And that's perfect. And he did play well the other night. But give me the stats for the USG games, the two games. Would it be the same? So he didn't deserve his place. I'm convinced that if Ben Davies was fit, he would have played. Now, the argument would be, does he deserve his place for next week? Of course he does. Off the stats that Stuart gave and what we watched, the proof will be in the pudding. When Van Bronckhorst comes to these big games and he's got all his centre-halves fit...
Oh, he's not going to be number one centre-half.
I think we've now shifted the goalposts in the debate, because I don't think anyone's saying that. All people are saying is Stuart's defending this notion that he was somehow the problem the other night, or that he is the problem.
Not the other night, he wasn't. But leading into that game, I said on Tuesday night, I thought PSV would score. I thought it would be a worry to some Rangers fans that James Sands was centre-half because of how he played against USG, a team...
But now they won't be as worried because he performed well.
Well, he showed he can perform well against that front line. He's still part of a defence that lost 2 goals, right enough. So it wasn't a perfect night. When you come off a back four and you've had a good game and you've lost 2 goals, I guarantee you players are only sitting in the dressing room and went, I've had a perfect night, no matter what your stats say. So again, the proof will be in the pudding when the manager has everybody fit, if he still thinks he'll continue there at centre-half.
Overall, Stuart, I mean, what did you take away from the other night? Do you get into the second leg with fear, trepidation or confidence that the job will get finished off?
You know, something strange, and I'm being totally honest, I actually get in with full confidence, and I'll tell you for why. You'll start that same team, and Golson will not make the same mistake that he made, and that back line will be tighter, and they'll do it. They'll play the exact same way. Remember, we're getting in there, you've got it, not you guys, but we've got to remember that Gio changes his tactics during a game, which we used to moan about that people didn't do. He is doing it. Van Nistelrooy is changing his tactics twice during the game. He dropped that boy Bertin into the midfield. Why? To try and pull Rangers players in. Did you see Sands chasing him? No. Sands watched him. And the first time Bertin went away, Sands took the ball off him. That's the difference. We're playing a very, very skilled game. And I think he'll play the exact team. And I'm not against Davis, by the way, or Big Suter. I was just trying to make a point. You know, Blood and Thunder type players get attention because they're in there and getting torn in. This boy was taught drill. And again, I don't even like zone, but he was taught zone play. I think Gio plucked him out for the City group for nothing when Man City were trying to get him for the reserves. He plucked him out of there, took him in there, and the boy loves it. And he scored the highest percentage score ever for an American since he started doing these stats 2 years ago. 99% was his overall score. And he'll never do that again. And no, he didn't. He probably didn't go in the dressing room, Martin, I agree with you, and go, I had a great night tonight. But I can assure you, he had his man. And he'd done his job. Those other players never done their job at the 2 goals. The boy's no perfect. It might have a nightmare on Saturday against... But there you go. He might not even play against Hibs on Saturday. You know that?
It's a strong defence, though, Stuart. I'll give you that.
I think Stuart's surname Sands.
The James Sands Supporters Club over there in Orange County.
I like
thank
that,
you.
Though. I like all the stats. He's there.
That's
good.
James Sands has got player of the year already in America.
Thank you, Stuart. 01419511025. Hearts have actually had a couple of promising ventures up the pitch. Barry Mackay, although he's sliced that shot there, he's showing his talent, isn't he?
Gordon, I'm not just saying this, right? I used to think Barry was just a good football player. He's grown to me, he's got everything in his locker. See his passing range, and if you watch him, his touch, his ball control, he can carry, he can score goals. He's one of the top players in Scotland just now. And I'll argue with anybody. I know that you can get in with your Jotters, your Tillmans, all these guys, and I totally agree with that. They light up. But for Hearts now, Barry Mackay has been absolutely brilliant this season.
Well, they're going to need him because they're 2-1 down at the moment. We're just approaching half time. 01419511025. Good time to call. You could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in Switzerland. It's FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1. It got off to a great start for Hearts. Yes, they had some defending to do, but they countered a couple of times. One of them ended in Nathaniel Atkinson getting brought down in the box. Referee pointed to the spot, rightly so, and Lauren Shankland dispatched the spot kick perfectly. Unfortunately, though, the lead did not last long. Hearts defending wasn't great, in all honesty. I'm sure Robbie Nielsen will feel the same. And Adrian Guerrero, 32 minutes on the clock, when he, what a wonderful finish it was on the volley. Nathaniel Atkinson possibly could have done better, but the ball popped up, Guerrero swivelled and volleyed it beyond Craig Gordon, and a similarly emphatic finish just less than 2 minutes later from Zimali. That means at the break it's Zurich 2 Hearts 1. How would you sum that up, Mark?
I feel a bit unfair for Hearts. I know Zurich had a lot of the ball and they put them under a wee bit of pressure, but I thought when Hearts scored, like I'd rightly said, they grew in confidence and they looked better for it. And I thought there's a couple of times that they broke on Zurich, and if they picked the right pass, I think Haring took a couple of touches too many, they could have been in again. I think Mackay and Shankland have looked lively, but they are the creators of their own downfall in that first half, because Atkinson, who won the penalty, is at fault badly for the equaliser, and then for the second goal again, he tries to get his head on the ball at the back post, totally misjudges it, and Hearts find themselves behind. I think Robbie Nielsen won't be too disappointed with how his team's actually played in overall play. Disappointed at how easy the goals were against them, but they are certainly still in this tie. I think they'll still create chances, and I think they could get another goal tonight.
I'd be a bit concerned, Mark. Not in the middle to front. The defence, for me, when Halkett went off, the defence has been ropey. If you're going to defend like that in European nights, teams will punish you. Of that, there's no doubt, and that's what's happened to Hearts tonight. As you rightly said, got off to a great start. Shanklin, very good penalty indeed. Very composed. Sticks it by the goalkeeper. Gives them such a lift. But if you're getting beat with just long balls over the top and, you know, exposing your goalkeeper and all of a sudden losing goals, if you defend like that, this tie could be away from them tonight. I'm sure Robbie Nielsen will be saying, look, we have got to make sure our concentration is right, especially at the back. We've got to defend, because if this team comes out and gets an early goal, this game could be away from Hearts before they even return to Tynecastle.
Yeah, some good stuff for Hearts, but really poor defending, and they do trail 2-1 at the break. So we'll keep an eye on what happens. This game should be finished before we go off air, so we'll know for sure the outcome. Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Mark in Paisley. How's it going, Mark?
Hi, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, all good. All good. Thank you. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm a PSV Amsterdam fan, so...
Are you okay, Mark?
No, I'm kidding on. I was just phoning up about my Matt O'Reilly.
What about him?
Mark backtracked there, didn't he?
I think he was scared of you there.
I know. Mark knew what was happening.
You're so intimidating as well.
I was down that area. Where is it he's from?
Paisley.
Paisley. I was down that Paisley
you
area.
You went the last a minute in Paisley.
Well, just looking for a wee Mark.
Mark's about 6'5".
Nice, nice, a wee guy. You can tell he's
anyway, nice. Mark, what about Matt O'Reilly?
A wee guy. I think that Matt O'Reilly's the best player in Scottish football at the moment. I think that I watched him at the weekend, and he's just got that sort of Rogic-esque like skill, spatial awareness. He's able to just like he picks up the ball in these places. He's able to pin passes that other players do not see. And that pitch isn't great. And he's like a ballerina at times.
So better than Jota?
I think that they're different players. I think that they both have their qualities. Like, I love Jota. But I think that O'Reilly is graceful. He's able to just receive the ball. We can see a pass that other players don't see. However, also, I would say that that ball that Greg Taylor played for the Kyoga goal was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, Mark, I just thought I'd see, because obviously Jota's getting the headline, so I wonder how Mark as a Celtic fan felt. And don't get Gordon started on Barry Mackay or whoever else is out there, Malik Tillman, who've had good starts to the season. But it's Matt O'Reilly that's catching Mark in Paisley's eye.
Well, he deserves a mention because he is an outstanding footballer. Ever since he came to the club, really hit the ground running. I think with the departure of Rogic, the Celtic fans were slightly more at ease than they would have been if Rogic had went, and you didn't have a replacement like O'Reilly. Then there would have been question marks, I guess, about letting Rogic go. He's a player that I think most people like to watch, just the way he moves. He's also a threat from set pieces, dead balls. You know, he takes a lot of corner kicks, which is something that you obviously need. I mean, for me, the best player in Scotland, it's pretty evident Jota is on absolute fire. But Matt O'Reilly wouldn't
it's
be
pretty
far away.
Evident, Mark says.
Mm-hmm. Mark's made up his mind already.
And Jota is the best player in Scotland, how it started just now.
Oh, without doubt. I'm just saying, just you were very convinced, just as if without there is doubt. No other opinion out there. And no. I'm sure people are shouting at the radios right now disagreeing.
Yeah, certainly outdoors, but obviously Jota's playing very well. But you go back,
who's going to win Player of the Month? Is that what you're trying to say?
Jota, hands down.
Wrong. No?
Do you know? I don't know. All right, but getting back to Matt.
Joel Mobley.
Matt O'Reilly.
It's got to be.
Oh, yeah, he's been brilliant.
What a start.
Yeah.
What are you scoffing at?
No, he's had a great start. But anyway, carry on, guys.
Yeah, but I've got to say, O'Reilly.
It's good fun to wind him up, isn't it?
I totally agree that he's a very elegant player for me. I think he looks brilliant on the ball, very comfortable. Lovely left foot. He's fit it right into the way Celtic play, and he's a big Postecoglou favourite. So he's got a massive part to play going forward this season for Celtic. Of that, they're no doubt gone, because he is a terrific talent, the lad.
The issue would be, see if anything had to happen to O'Reilly, The luxury was last season, if anything happened to either Rogic or
the other one was there.
And then you look at that Celtic midfield, of course you've got quality, but they're quite exceptional, Rogic and Aurelia, at how they play, and quite unique. So I know Turnbull comes in, and but he's a slightly different player. So I just wonder if that's why Ange Postecoglou is looking at that position to strengthen.
What do you think, transfer business wise, Mark?
Tom Rogic, it's an absolute mystery. Like how he's, he seems to be just, he's not even bothered. He shrugs his shoulders like everyday life. I think he's just that cool. But I mean, I would still love him at Celtic. But what do you think for his future? Do you think he's going?
Well, I mean, Mark, it must, like, there's everything. There's the lifestyle and all that, and being far away. So you know. You assume he left Celtic for a reason, but it's just bizarre that a guy of his age doesn't really seem to be in any hurry to go. And
yeah, it baffled me because you instantly think that's him. He's gone back home. He would set up with a team in Australia and he would play.
And then
his
even
days
at
there.
That, there was probably a perception there that in football level wise, he could have done better than that league.
Of course,
but that's not even happened.
I don't really understand it. Maybe he wanted. You never know personal circumstances that a player's going through. Maybe he wanted some time out. I don't know, but it's surprising.
Certainly won't be the lack of offers. Yeah, well, he's a free agent. Well, he's a terrific talent.
Well, there was big offers there, though.
Yeah, but you just wonder, Mark Wright, maybe a personal opinion
what do you make
situation
of that,
for him.
That area then, because it's the only one that you could say. Look, Celtic had a title-winning team, and it's the same, if not stronger, than it was. But with that exception, just purely on, even on the options, as Mark says. So Rogic used to be there, now he's not. You know, he's not been directly replaced. Does Ange Postecoglou feel that Aaron Moy is the one to do that? Does he feel that a combination of a better O'Reilly this season, a better Hatate this season, and a better Turnbull this season is enough? Or
yeah, and we've not even seen the lad Gucci. I think
he's meant to be a more defensive type though, anyway,
right,
isn't he?
But he's still got options in the midfield. Moy looks to me like he's still a few games to go to get up to speed. Obviously, he's playing catch up, but it'll be interesting because the new lad that they're talking about, you know, we said there he could play in the number 10.
What was his name again?
His name, if it Hax Abanovic.
It's not bad, you know. I expected worse.
Would that be okay?
I'll take that.
Okay. Well, Hax, as we call him, Abanovic. he could be the answer that just plays, drops off that between midfield and forward line going.
Thank you, Mark. In Paisley, it's that time of the night. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Now, I know most people might listen often or have certainly listened before and are familiar with Beat the Pundit. But if you're not, this is... I'll play a little clip from it just to give you an idea.
What? I know what you're going to do here. This is ridiculous.
No, not at all. I'm just trying to highlight the way it would work so that people can hear, you know, when I ask the questions.
I know what's going on here.
In which Dutch city do PSV play their home games?
Amsterdam. Yeah.
Hold on, I'll play it again in case you didn't catch it. In case the kids are making a noise in the car. Hold on. In which Dutch city do PSV play their home games?
Amsterdam.
You were so sure as well. How you said.
How many people have mentioned that to you
hundreds,
since Tuesday?
Yeah, I got dogs abuse in the golf course as well. You know, so I'm getting it all. Even getting into my local shop. I'm, you know, for the worky boys, I'm glad they're doing 4 hours in the rain. I'm getting all sorts of stick with that. So I've just got to grin and bear it. Sometimes you've just got to make a mistake and go on with Gordon. But I'll be successful again. As I always say, success always depends on the second letter.
The look on his face as he tried to finish that's his worst. No, I hate that.
I like that one.
That's your worst one yet.
There you go.
If you A, want to play Beat the Pundit, or B, want to tell us whose quote is stolen tonight,
I never stole
it's 01419511025, and the call needs to be in before 7 o'clock. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. We are underway in the second half. Hearts are actually on a good break at the moment if they can get bodies forward, but with 50 minutes on the clock, it is FC Zurich 2 Hearts 1. And I must admit, Gordon DL, nothing frustrates me more than having to admit that you are right. But Barry Mackay is having a wonderful performance, albeit Hearts are still losing. He has got his full repertoire on show.
Yeah, if they're going to get anything out of this game tonight, he'll be the man that makes it, Gordon. He's involved in everything. Some of the touches, his ball control is incredible. As I say, look, I've watched Barry for over a year now, and I just think he's grown as a Hearts player. He's playing very well, and he's got terrific ability, the boy.
Anyway, 2-1 to FC Zurich at the moment. Hearts have got a free kick. If you're just joining us, we've been discussing some aftermath thoughts from Rangers' draw against PSV Eindhoven. We've had some discussions coming from you on the phones about Celtic's signings at the moment. And after this, we're going to speak to a man who is well known in Scottish football, and he's just got himself a new club. I'll tell you who after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a week it's been on Beat the Pundit. What a week. We had Andy Halliday's second ever defeat on Monday night. We then went two in a row for the listeners on Tuesday with the whole, you know, PSV Amsterdam debacle. And then last night, Marvin Bartley got the respectability back, and you can imagine how excited he was. He's quite an excitable guy. He was shadow boxing around the studio. He was making a lot of noise. Oh, he was happy. So let's see what we've got tonight. Graham and Bayliston is on the line. How's it going, Graham?
Hey, Dan.
You alright, Graham?
I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Now, Graham, we've actually started something new on the show tonight. We're going to do almost like a vetting process just to see if people are up to scratch. Could you just tell me, to make sure that you can go ahead and play tonight, which city do PSV play their home games in?
Eindhoven.
Good, right, that's fine. You'll do for us. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and tails, it will be Mr. Amsterdam himself. Wonder how we get that nickname. Gordon DL. Let's see. You're what? Sorry?
I'm in a bath now.
In the bath?
And I was thinking about Gordon when I was washing my nose. Gordon.
Producer Chris, somebody better go and give him CPR in there. He's just fallen off his stool. I was thinking about Gordon when I was washing my nose.
You'd need a lot of soap, let me tell you.
Wow. Mark, how do we recover from this?
I just wanted to delete it from my memory.
This guy's thought of Graham in the bath.
Graham, don't drop the phone in the bath.
No, waterproof, hopefully.
Do you know what the worst thing? Firstly, I could hear the echo, so I assumed he was somewhere. But I think I did hear him move a body part out of the water there. You know that noise it makes? That
He's got the toe on the tap. I'll warm it up.
Producer Chris, have we ever had a contestant from in the bath before? We've had one in a sunbed, remember that?
Yeah, I remember
you
that.
You can hear the noise in the background. Graham, you're the first contestant ever from the bath. How does it make you feel?
Hey. Wet. That's how he's feeling.
Keep him hanging on for about half an hour.
His fingers are already freezing. All right. Anyway, heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL to face Graham in the bath. See this show?
Oh, my.
It's weird, place. Let's see how we go. It's heads. I don't know. I don't know who you'd rather think about in the bath, but it's Mark Wilson I'm afraid. So let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. Whilst we get back to the bath man in Bayliston, the Bayliston bath man, we'll call him. Graham, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. Don't drop your phone in the water, okay?
Okay.
Let's go. 30 seconds starts now. Which current Celtic player has scored the most goals for the club?
Gio Marcus.
In what year did Rangers last play in the Champions League group stages?
2012.
Who was the first Scottish side that Johnny Hayes played for?
Sibyl.
Name any summer 2022 signing who scored on their league debut in Scotland.
Pass.
Kamar Roof plays for which international side?
Jamaica.
Okay. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yeah.
He was splashing about like nobody's business in there. I don't know what he was up to.
There are bubbles going everywhere.
Same set of questions to you.
Can he list a guy in the bath?
You can't. This will be a new... Are you ready? He's broken his earphones, hasn't he? Look at the state of this guy. What have you done?
How have you done that? All my time here.
That's an expensive piece of kit, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's cheap.
Anyway, Mark, you ready?
Aye.
Same set of questions. Which current Celtic player has scored the most goals for the club?
Cal McGregor.
In what year did Rangers last play in the Champions League group stages?
2011.
Who was the first Scottish side that Johnny Hayes played for?
Inverness Kelly Thistle.
Name any summer 2022 signing who scored on their league debut in Scotland.
Nibley.
Kemar Roofe plays for which international side?
Pass. Jamaica.
And which striker joined Celtic from PSV in 2006?
Jan Venegar of Hesselink.
Bathman, how do you think it went?
No good. I'll wait for myself.
Graham, stay away.
Please don't. And
seriously, didn't beat him. He was terrible there.
Nah, he wasn't great either, was he? Right, which current Celtic player has scored the most goals for the club?
Forrest, isn't
Graham
it?
Said Giakoumakis. He's Forrest. Not been there long enough, Graham. You said Alan McGregor. No, I said
Cal McGregor.
James Forrest. What did I say? Alan.
Sorry. No,
James Forrest, Alan. 97 goals. So none of you got that right. Rangers last played in the group stages in 2010. Great start.
Oh, what?
Great start, boys. None of you have got any. The Bathman's struggling, so is Mark Wilson.
2010.
Johnny Hayes first played for Inverness.
Yes. Yeah.
Did he get that?
He did not.
Oh, damn.
1-0. At this point. At this point, I can't even hear what he's saying because of the echo. That nice tiled bathroom is doing us no favours.
What size of bathroom you got? Sounds massive.
Kim, are you in there alone?
Totally.
If you hadn't get it on FaceTime.
Because it was the echo. It was. Anyway, right, name any summer 2022 signing. Partly my fault. I should have said Premiership debut. It doesn't really matter because you were miles off it. Alan Forrest, Moritz Jens, or Leighton Clarkson.
All right, hold on a minute. You've not read the question right.
Who did you say?
Nibley.
Who played for Livy last season. Yeah. Good one.
Oh,
I agree.
No,
this is some game, by the way. 1-0.
1-0. The Bathman is toiling. Yeah. Kemar Roofe plays for Jamaica, yeah. But you said pass first.
I did say pass first.
Did Bathman get Jamaica?
Bathman got it.
Well no done, Bathman. Give us some bubbles.
He's in there with a can of red stripe. He knows he's Jamaica. Is red stripe Jamaican? I don't think so.
Is it good?
Is it? What a relief. I mean, you know me and my beer knowledge. I'm a big beer drinker. Which striker joined Celtic from PSV in 2006? It was Jan Venegar of Hesselink.
He's not getting that.
Mark Wilson got it.
He's not getting that.
Bathman did not get that.
Yes!
Far. Oh.
Yes. Oh, the relief.
A 2-1.
Bathman's feeling
a 2-1
right now.
Victory. Graham, enjoy the bath. Thanks for calling. It's the weirdest Beat the Pundit of all time. So you've always got that. You won't have the sign ball, but you're the first and definitely the last guy we'll let on from the bath. Take care.
When Mark came
round
and rubbed my back.
He's settling off. What's going on here?
He's out the bath with a towel and all that.
Flossing. Did the floss? You do that, don't you? What? He's a flosser.
He's a flosser, really.
My Graham's like that. I just get beat with Mark.
When you're in the gym, it's always the older generation.
Put the foot up on the bench.
That's the floss. And get the talc. Talc everywhere.
Oh, I don't mind the talc and the jammies in the winter.
Anyway,
that's another good victory.
See, when you thought this show just couldn't get any weirder, we've plunged to new depths.
Plunged, plunged.
Why would you phone in the bath?
Why would you phone for the bath? That's odd. And then,
do you take your phone in the bath?
Me?
I don't have
a bath. I don't like baths.
Stinking.
I'd wash it other ways.
All right, okay.
A shower.
I like it once a hump day. I like the Wednesday hump day. Yeah.
And the bath.
And the bath. Phone. Yeah. A phone's always at the side. Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm sorry about this. 01419511025. Hearts are still losing 2-1. Let's try and be serious for a minute. Peter Haring is in a bit of bother with the ref. Free kick to Zurich, and it is still 2-1 to the home side. What an introduction for this man. He's got a new club. He's got a move. He was out of the game. He's a well-known name, and he's Scott Allen. And Scott, I'd love to bring you in different circumstances, but you're just going to have to follow a guy who's phoned in from the bath. I don't know how that makes you feel.
Oh, I was just about to say that I was calling from the bath as well.
No, no, don't do that to us, please don't. Dick Campbell's listening. I wonder if he's in the... No, let's not go there, right? Let's forget that.
Swimming pool, he needs.
Stop it. We're getting ourselves in trouble. Anyway, Scott, congratulations. You've got a new club. It is our broth. How does it feel to be back in the game, so to speak?
Well, I obviously had a few options over the summer that maybe weren't for me, as I wanted to stay home with my family and my young son, who my same thing now is taking him to play the game. So for me, going to Arbroath with a guy who I've known since I was a 18-year-old at Dundee United, and I've had a lot of time for Dick Campbell, and he's always on the phone, like saying when it comes to maybe your 30s, I'd be the guy I'd go and play for. So for me to get back with a guy that I know, and a good set of lads who done well last season, it's kind of ideal for me in all aspects of my life at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, because you obviously spoke about it at the weekend, and you know, said it's been a tough time. You said you feel like there's an asterisk next to your name. In fact, you know, I think the last time you were actually in this studio, you were opening up, coming to terms with what had happened with the heart condition and so on. How tough has it been the last couple of months?
It's been tough for different points of view. Like for myself, I've managed to kind of, for the first time, have a disconnect with football and maybe see what matters most in life. I know that's a bit deep, but that's probably the best way I could say it. But then when the season kicks off, like, there's nothing really what to do and be on the pitch at 3 p.m. You know, so for me, it's just a great opportunity to go and show that I can still do what I can do.
Absolutely. The first summer, I think, in about 14 years that you've probably not had that, you know, kind of traditional pre-season or attached to a club at that point. How is the fitness? What, you know, are you ready to kind of make an impact at Arbroath, or is that going to be a slower process?
Well, listen, you can train yourself. The boys will tell you, Willow and that there, like, you can train yourself, train your own, do as much as you want, running in the streets and all that kind of thing, but nothing quite hits like a match day. So it's going to take me a wee bit of time to get up to that speed, but I've been working really hard, so I think maybe sooner than people probably expect.
I mean, maybe it's one of these cliches. I'll kind of go down that road anyway, Scott. People talk about, you know, if someone is without a club, or if you felt there was an asterisk next to your name. I mean, do you feel like you've got something to prove, or is that not the way that you look at it?
I think, see, for me now, I just want to go and enjoy the next couple of years. Based on the fact a lot of kind of went through the last 2 years, if you'd have told me when they get the first cardiologist told me to retire that I could in 2 years' time I could still be playing in the Championship for Arbroath, I'd have bit your hand off. So for me, it's just about getting back on the pitch and doing something that I love doing.
You've mentioned the Dick Campbell factor. How much of it was, you know, boosted by that fairy tale that was so close to getting a happy ending last year for Arbroath? How much was that something you wanted to be a part of?
Yeah, I know a lot of boys here, and obviously you get Dick Campbell, as everybody knows, a character, but you seen how they played last year, that everybody was waiting on them falling off and not being fit, the usual stuff you hear, like teams who are part-time, but I didn't see that. I think there's still a bit they can show this year as well, and hopefully I can add to that and maybe get a few others in now as well.
You know what we're like, cynical bunch up here. People probably look at that last year and go, ah, you know, they'll not do that again. I bet you that Campbell believes they can, and I'm sure you've bought into that as well.
Oh, he absolutely does believe that, but that's just the way he is. And for me, I want to be part of something, being successful. I don't want to go somewhere and not do the best I can do. So for us, we'll be pushing for playoffs and see what it takes us.
What's the phone call like when he tries to convince you? And what was his words of wisdom?
Well, I hadn't answered a few of them for a while because I knew that he would convince me because I think it's at home so well. But I think sometimes if you just get a good feeling about something, you've got to go with it, and that's how I felt.
Great to see him back involved, Mark.
Brilliant man, outstanding player, Scott. And, you know, it's, I know what you're saying, pre-season might take you a bit of time to get up and running, but I mean, there's no doubt that Arbroath's getting a top player. You must be dying to get back out there and actually sample it. And what a great crowd up there as well, that we've seen it last season at times, welcoming players. They'll be excited to go along and see you.
What's your Gayfield experience like, Scott? Are you prepared for how windy it is?
You'll need to ask me that in a couple of weeks when the winter comes. listen, the pitch is good. It's grass, you know, and it's not one of the Astros. It's a grass pitch that you can get the ball down on. I've been up there. If it's windy, then you're better out on the deck. So, listen, it's going to be... Some things might be different for me, but something I want to get my teeth into.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're giving the secrets away, the game plan. It's at home to Queen's Park this week. Is that too early? Is that something you're looking to be a part of? Or?
Yeah, I think I'd be part of being on the bench, at least, and hopefully come on and get some minutes, because it's the only thing that's going to get me up to speed is getting minutes. Probably, I'd say it's too early to play from the start, you know, and there's obviously boys there who have done full pre-season. I've done okay, so for me, it's about sort of getting the minutes up in the next couple of weeks and seeing how quickly I can get to match sharpness.
Right, Scott, we're all delighted for you. Great that you're back involved, and hopefully you'll come in and see us at some point soon.
I will do. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Good man. That was Scott Allen, now our broth, Scott Allen. Gordon, what did you make of that news last night?
Great for a lad to be back. And I think what's important for him, Gordon, is...
Everybody knows the talent, don't they?
Brilliant. But I'll tell you what's really important, what I think he mentioned there as well. When you get to that stage of your career, you want to enjoy your football. And he sounds a guy, I want to get back out there, enjoy my Saturday, look forward to it and whatever. He's going with the right man. He's a great character, Dick Campbell. Brilliant. I've listened to him throughout the years. I know Dick very, very well indeed. And if there's one guy he'll enjoy his football under, is Dick Campbell at Arbroath. And I wish Scott Allen all the very best.
Is it wrong though when Scott Allen says, I don't want to get too deep? I thought he was talking about Graham's bath. I can't get out of my head. Seriously. I need a break. It's still FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1. Give us a call now. You could be up next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here. It's 0141 951 1025 to get in touch on the phones. You can tweet at Clyde SSB as well. FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1, still the same scoreline. Hearts would take that back, wouldn't they?
100%. You know, Zurich come out the traps in the second half, really went for Hearts, created a few good chances, but they've stood up to it, and there's still a bit to go. Last 20 plus minutes, Gordon, very important. Get that game. If they can get it back to Tynecastle, packed house here, great atmosphere, 2-1, that's doable, but I wouldn't like to see them lose an Argo.
Big night in the Champions League as well, so we wish Glasgow City all the best. They're taking on Roma. We gave away tickets to that game a couple of nights ago. Thomas from Easterhouse won them, so hopefully Thomas, and it was family tickets, so hopefully go and enjoy their night and get a positive result. Of course, we heard about it on the news bulletin not so long ago as well. Rangers women up against Ferencvaros, so hopefully some positive results to report in the coming days on that one. You can phone us, you can tweet us. In fact, I've had a tweet in here, Mark Wilson, a complaint actually about
that's
you.
That's not good. About me? Yeah. What have I done?
It's a complaint because apparently you were a disgrace. You let your team down badly at the Sir Alex Ferguson Golf Day today. Apparently your standard was not great.
That wouldn't be a complaint. It would be a fact.
An accurate summation.
An accurate summary of how my days went. I mean, first and foremost, I've got to apologise to my team. I've never played that. Played so bad. I mean, it got to the stage, it was embarrassing. My nickname will be 3 for the tee. I was 3 from the tee, probably about 14 holes.
No way.
I swear.
14?
I swear. I was running out of balls.
And he's standing there, belly bursting in an Under Armour t-shirt as well. What a day he's had.
I felt like I had armour on outside when I was swinging. I
don't know how the golf is, but your foot's intake was obviously good.
I got to the stage that the guys were giving me golf tips. And then.
Oh, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse.
So. Boys, I apologise. I don't think we won any prizes.
Oh, but do you know what? I was there as well, and to be fair, I don't think I was much better. I don't think I was. The Sir Alex Ferguson Golf Classic, and the folks asked for a shout out because they were big fans of the show. I got many shouts of, "Where's DL? He'll be getting some."
I wasn't a big enough celeb to go to that.
You were asked, and you didn't go.
No, you're right.
He was asked, though.
He was asked.
I would be a bit embarrassed to turn and call myself a celebrity.
He's not as big as us, Gordon.
I'm not as big as you now.
Listen, I'm a big baggy top on. How many X's has that got in the label?
That's the biggest H I've ever seen in Under Armour.
Do you want to know the worst of it?
It's
not an H. It's just an Under Armour symbol.
I know, but it looks like
an H. Do you know the worst of it? So at one point, my group were teeing off, hooked it left. Not great. I mean, not totally horrific. Luckily not as bad as the rest of my team, but pretty poor. And next thing, who's behind us just sitting watching the buggy? Sir Alex himself, right? So he decides to, he wasn't playing, he was in the buggy, so he decides to just follow us up the fairway. You're in the presence of absolute greatness.
Yep.
But I felt for the boys in my team because someone else then sort of put another ball down, shanked out of the trees. Sir Alex is just sitting there, but you know that way, as soon as he speaks, you're just like, anything he says. Yeah. He was talking about Diego Forlan, remember him?
Yeah.
Said he came over, had never played golf in his life, but apparently he was a very good tennis player. So hand-eye coordination was there. He was at Man United for 2 years or whatever, and was a scratch golfer by the time he left.
That's amazing. It
makes you sick. And I said, not usually lost for words, but you're thinking, what do you say to Sir Alex? I said, did you let the players play golf, or was there a certain point in the week? I find them if they were playing, he said. And he said, one time he caught Teddy Sheringham playing, and he said, oh, Teddy, he was physically caught him, he was there. Week's wages.
He took a week's wages off
for playing golf, yeah.
That was a dear round.
Aye. Yeah, it certainly was.
Were you speaking to Sir Alex? Did you recognise him?
I was him all the time. Oh, he says, I remember you. I remember you well from time at Dumbarton.
He said in the office, asked him the same question. He went, I didn't even know.
Had my disguise on.
But do you know what I love about this? So, you know, you like to think people will remember the cutting edge analysis, the knowledge that you two pass on. One of the organisers came over and said, it's good to see that Mark Wilson's here and not away seeing Lady Gaga in London.
Oh, actually, she came up and said to me, "How was Gaga?"
These are the things that people remember.
I say it's a bit day every week if she was on every week.
But anyway, it was a great event. We wish everyone well. Yeah. Doing a lot of good things for a good cause. They're still enjoying a lovely gala dinner at the moment. And him and I are stuck in here with you.
Are you boys going
back? By the way, absolutely starving. And I did say to Chris, I don't know if you're listening, Chris. I did say to Chris about the pie. And he's just gave a shocked face here because he's forgot.
I think for the first time ever, Chris has done you a massive favour. Not put that pie over.
He's trying to fat shame me tonight.
You see the state of that?
Have you seen the state of that?
John Ramble.
Certainly didn't play like him today, that's for sure. Anyway, you've spent so long fat shaming Mark Wilson that you've eaten into your time from the full time teaser.
See what he's done there. He's talking about food again.
Stephen's on a roll. Stephen sent me about 10 teaser questions in the last day. So thanks again to Stephen. If you want to help him out, lighten the load, full time at.
By the way, is he doing this on purpose? He's mentioned roll, lighten the load, and eating into the time.
Full time at Clyde1.com. Send the questions in. Stephen's done it tonight. From the current teams in the SPFL Premiership, for some reason, it doesn't include Celtic or Ross County. I guess they're not applicable. Who's the most recent signing Rangers have made from each club? I love that. So from the current teams in the Premiership, it doesn't include Celtic and Ross County. They're not applicable. Who's the most recent signing Rangers have made from each club? Oh. Brilliant.
Well, can I get back to Hasty with Motherwell? Have they signed anybody since Hasty and Motherwell?
I don't know. You,
Hasty.
Yeah, Hasty. Good shout, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yes, Jake Hasty from Motherwell, 2019.
Yeah. Whoa.
Tough question, isn't it?
That's going to be.
I should have saved this for Roger Hannah, I must admit. Yeah. I really should have. What was I thinking, giving this to you two?
What were you thinking?
Where are you thinking?
What do you want to go at? Alphabetically, is that a good way to work
Ian
your way
Black
through? From?
Hearts.
No.
No, there's a better
Much
one.
More recently.
Suter.
That sums
Suter.
My day up. Sums my day up, Matt.
Aberdeen must be a very easy one.
Why?
Why?
Because you would know Aberdeen are get decent players to Rangers to. No Foster. No Richard Foster. No, it's ages ago.
Oh, Scott Wright.
Right. Scott Wright. Right. Well done. Right.
Hey, I'm back.
Listen, you're not as daft as you look, although the remaining ones you've got are much more difficult. So we'll see how we get on. And please, full time at Clyde1.com to send your question in. Still Zurich 2, Hearts 1. Probably would take this. How good would it be if Hearts could
O'Harlan
get a second?
It's St Johnston.
Who?
O'Harlan. St Johnston.
Michael O'Halloran.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, does.
Right, leave it there. Paul's on the line. He's been hanging on for ages. Sorry, Paul. Take it away.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
With the draw about to be made soon for Celtic and straight into the Champions League, I'm listening to some of the comments from a lot of Celtic supporters who are instantly thinking that we're the players that we've got aren't good enough to compete in the Champions League. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to win the Champions League, or far from it, but I just think the pessimism sometimes is a bit hard going to listen to. Mark, when you were playing with Celtic and you played in the Champions League, I'm sure Gordon Strachan or Neil Lennon, part of their team talk wasn't, look, I know we're not good enough, but we'll get no get a goal. I mean, if you look at some of the players in comparison to the players that played, when you say Celtic beat AC Milan, I think some of the players are every bit as good as the squad was then, if no better. And I just think, if you get negative, I mean, I'm sure Big Ange isn't getting negative, but I would just like, I think Celtic are due to come again a bit in Europe. Ajax done it a few years ago. We know superstars. So I would just like a wee bit of kind of, let's go and get a go and not be so pessimistic.
Bang on, Paul. I mean, I would agree with you that the players just now are every bit as good, if not better, than the squads that I was involved in. Now, I played alongside some very good players at that. But when we went up against the teams, AC Milan and Man United, there was a huge gulf. But there was a belief that came through the manager. I believe Ange Postecoglou will be the same. Everything he speaks about is positive. But the difference I can see at the minute from Celtic's campaign last season is we were very well drilled defensively in that period. We knew what we were up against and we were going to get tortoise red sometimes, but we were compact, we worked together, and then we nicked something the other side. Ange Postecoglou last year played a style that was open, expansive.
So correct me if I'm wrong then, are you trying to say that the way Celtic will try to basically, if they can win games in the Champions League, it will be done by outplaying the opposition, but you felt you guys didn't necessarily need to outplay them to win the match?
Yeah, I don't think we outplayed anybody in the runs that we had, and we got to the team I was in got to the last 16 twice. Ange Postecoglou's belief, or up until this point should I say, is that they can outplay teams by playing a certain style. Now, we touched on that last year when Celtic went out tournament after tournament. That was Postecoglou going to change his style this year? When you go to the Champions League, I think that is a fear for some Celtic fans. If they play that way, it'll be attractive to watch. But if you come up against the big guns, the real big hitters, then that is the worry. But there's no doubt about it, the team's good enough. The players are good enough to give anybody a game on their day. But I still believe that they have to be a wee bit smarter and more compact defensively to get anything.
And this goes back to that some people, and Mark's brought it up numerous amounts of times on the show, about the other midfield player, that other sitting midfield player. I just don't think that's Postecoglou's way. I totally understand that managers have different ways of playing, especially in Europe, as Mark said. They developed a system where they sat in, they tried to nick something, they tried to grind out results at times, and then at Celtic Park, and, you know, they went for it at certain moments with the players that they had. This guy just seems to go from it from the first whistle, and he believes in his players, he believes in the fast-flowing football, he believes in the high press. It'll be interesting to see in the Champions League group stages this year, Gordon, if he just sort of tweaks it a little bit.
No, it's not going to though, is he?
No, I don't think.
Or just a small tweak, though. He can always do that.
Yeah, whether he decides to press in a different area of the pitch rather than high up, maybe drop off and then press, and, you know, at the halfway line or whatever, he may tweak one or two, but he will certainly never change the way he plays football. No chance.
I just remember the caller last night, I don't know if you heard him, who phoned and he said, "I can't wait for the Champions League draw tomorrow." But it's next week, so I hope he's or Friday. I hope he's not sitting waiting.
See, Daz's point there, he'll never change. But even the best managers change. Even the top managers will change because
change shape.
You know, sometimes change shape.
But they don't change their style. The top managers rarely do that.
No, don't change your style. No. But Celtic style, you know, is wide open, expansive, fast football. Get the ball and play. If you're saying, we keep saying about Real Madrid, right? Because they are the big draw. If you're playing Real Madrid, say you go one up, you get, are you running honestly to keep the ball in play and to play as fast as you can. Even we've seen Postecoglou shout at Joe Hart to go and get the ball and things. Is he doing that? Of course, come on. Of course he's not. He's changing his style. He's changing his shape because he'll understand he's at the top level.
I suppose
level.
That's still style to a point. It's game management as well, though, isn't it?
Well, we saw last year when they went away from home and Celtic were winning away in Germany, and it didn't change then. He brought on substitutions, played his wingers wide and high, and what happened? They got punished. I wonder if he rethinks that. I agree with you. I love that he never wants to change his philosophy, and it's attractive to watch. But does he really want to go in and play wingers as high as he can? A midfielder and Callum McGregor sitting there exposed against some of the world's greats? I don't know if you get away with that.
Thank you, Paul. 01419511025. Still Zurich 2, Hearts 1. Yes, Zurich have had chances, but I think, as the guys have said, you would have to imagine Robbie Nielsen and those Hearts fans would take that. So the next 7 or 8 minutes is going to be critical. From the current teams in the SPFL Premiership, excluding Celtic and Ross County, they're not applicable. Who's the most recent signing Rangers have made from each club? No loans, just permanent moves. So Scott Wright from Aberdeen, John Souter from Hearts, quite easy, Jake Hasty from Motherwell, St Johnstone's is Michael O'Halloran.
Right.
Chris Boyd, Kelly?
No.
Naismith, Kelly?
No.
Chris Burke?
No.
Chris Burke went to Kelly.
Aye. Did he not start?
Started at Rangers, you should know that.
Oh, so he did. Aye. Stephen Thompson, Dundee United.
All the way back to that?
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
2003.
Yeah. St Mirren's a good one. It's no Broadfoot St Mirren, is it?
Nope. Four to get. We'll get them next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Almost done in Switzerland as well. FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1. It looks like it will finish that way. That the pace has sort of dropped out of the game. Hearts are trying to keep it. It looks like they would take that. FC Zurich not necessarily pressing too hard either. Hopefully those aren't famous last words. But yeah, it's got that feel about it, doesn't it?
Take that, Gordon. I think that after going 2-1 down, the way the home team, well, they're not playing at home, but obviously Zurich come out in the second half, I thought that it could be a real bad night for Hearts. But they've dug very deep. They'll be delighted to get this back to Tynecastle 2-1. No doubt in that. They will fancy their chances.
I think away goals now. It's one of these nights with hindsight. You would like it to be reinstated.
Yeah, yeah, you would. But I think Hearts, Daz is right with his assessment in the second half. Zurich, start that second half, should have added to the lead. But Hearts rode the storm, and 2-1's not a bad result.
Right, we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. I did say Mark Wilson earlier on. We were lending our support to the Sir Alex Ferguson Golf Classic.
Yes,
at the Carrick up there at Loch Lomond, and I had a tweet in here from CMM who says, "Gordon, did you ask Fergie why he blanked the Shugster?"
Oh.
Now I don't know if you remember this at the weekend. Hugh Keevens was telling us that him and Fergie used to be tight. They would exchange Christmas cards, and all of a sudden it just stopped, and there was a big mysterious fallout. I need to be honest. Bottled it.
Bottled it.
Sir Alex, good to talk to. He's very friendly.
I just bottled it. I just didn't.
I didn't want him
I didn't want
him
to say anything nasty about Hugh. So I just thought, nah.
You should have asked him.
I know.
Been very pleasant.
I don't mind admitting that.
I think that Sir Alex was brilliant. Obviously, he knew every club, every manager, every player. He used to send. Even when I was at Air United, right, I used to get a Christmas card every single year.
From his secretary.
Exactly.
It's one of those printed ones.
Get a manager on Scottish football and write it. No. It was to Daz and family.
Nonsense.
It wasn't even Mario Gordon, you know, Sunday name, Daz. And I thought,
nonsense.
Me and him are tight. We're tight.
There's no way. There's no way he'll even know who you are.
Of course he did. He's in his office at Old Trafford before the Arsenal came out.
Security, take you out. Who is this guy?
Is that the same time you thought Colleen Rooney was school friend?
That was a time after. That was just a bad moment.
Hospitality must have been good that day. I'll
tell you what, she's got good security. I couldn't get near her after that.
Anyway, Raymond Taylor's given the teaser a go. He's sent in two names for you. One is right, one is wrong.
We've got
a
right one.
Can you name for the current Premiership teams, but it doesn't apply to Celtic or Ross County. Who's the most recent signing Rangers have made from each club? It's a cracker. You've got Scott Wright at Aberdeen, Stephen Thompson at Dundee United, John Souter at Hearts, Jake Hastie at Motherwell, and Michael O'Halloran at St Johnstone.
Kilmarnock is Jordan Jones. Jai Jai.
Sure.
100%. Lock
good
it
shout.
In.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Right, the Hibs one. Kevin Thompson.
No.
Stephen Whitaker.
Yes. All right, we'll leave it there. We'll try and get the rest before the end of the show. Speaking of Motherwell, Jake Hastie, that got the wheels turning in my head. Gordon DL. What did you make of these reports suggesting a move for Robert Snodgrass could be on the cards?
Yeah, very ambitious. Good player, Gordon. Very experienced player. He might just be that midfield player that can come in and dominate things in the middle of the park. That'd be a real good one. I still think that if I was Stevie Hamill just now, I'd be looking at the defence. I think we can lose goals. You know, and obviously left back with Carroll being out injured, so that's a position that needs to be filled, because I think, you know, the Stephen O'Donnell is the right back playing over at left back just now, and you know, McGinn's playing the right hand side. It's good options, and I'm sure Stephen O'Donnell is experienced enough to play that, but I just feel they need a couple of defenders in there to tighten everything up. But listen, Snodgrass coming in, that'd be a big coup for
them. I mean, we were chatting a few weeks ago, Daz is right about the defence, right, but a couple of weeks ago we were chatting about where's the goals going to come from and where's the creativity, and now Spittles came in. It's weird saying this because he scored three at the weekend. If you've got a chance to sign a guy like Snodgrass, who has that creativity, can add goals, who would be a good influence in that dressing room, a strong character.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if the character and the experience and the advice, is that every bit as appealing as the whatever it is, the creativity, the set pieces, the left foot?
Yeah, of course. But if you can add the ability and the actual game time, that's what he's been brought for. But if you've got that experience and that, we all know the character of Robert Snodgrass, and he's very well liked in football, very funny guy. I think he is an ideal player for Stevie Hamill to add to that dressing room at this time.
The thing is, Gordon, you just know it's going to need to be the right fit. If there's any sort of offer from the English Championship, and even a lot of English League One, maybe financially, Motherwell won't compete. So either there isn't any other offers, which you'd be surprised at, because I think there are, or you know, it's maybe coming back up the road, or it's a nice fit, or it's somebody feels he can flourish and he can pass on that experience, and maybe that, I don't know, maybe even you're at that stage where you're looking at coaching routes and that sort of thing.
I think just reading between the lines, and you rightly say, Gordon, there will be offers for him down south. More money, probably. Yes, I think we'd all agree on that. So if he does come to Motherwell, it is a case of maybe just wanting back up the road, the right fit, looking to get in and start his coaching career up here. You know, it'll be a personal thing. I'll certainly know about financial, because obviously Motherwell can't compete with the Championship and the League Ones, and even League Twos down there pay massive money. It's incredible. So it'd be a great coup for Motherwell if they could persuade him to come, because he's still got a lot to offer.
Oh, I thought there was a chance for Hearts to get in. The flag's gone up. Oh my, Josh Ginnelly just on. Liam Boyce with the flick on. And I think that will be the end of it. I think it's going to be the last action of the game. I'd like to see that back, Mark, because if
very
that
very tight, very, very tight. But I've got to say, moments before that, Hearts could have easily found themselves 3-1 behind. But yeah, I think 2-1's a good result, because Zurich probably be scratching their heads how they haven't made it more.
I think it's an excellent result, Mark, because I'm a bit concerned after half time. I thought they come out the blocks and really had a go at Hearts, and full time whistle there, Gordon.
Yes, the full time whistle has gone. It's finished in Switzerland. FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1. It was actually Hearts that took the lead after having been forced into a change early on when Craig Halkett went off injured. There was 22 minutes on the clock when Nathaniel Atkinson got his foot stood on in the box. Clear penalty, and very well put away by Lauren Shankland into the bottom corner. The lead lasted 10 minutes. Adrian Guerrero on 32 minutes equalised with a wonderful volley over his shoulder. It was helped onto him by Nathaniel Atkinson, which wasn't great from a Hearts perspective, but the finish was magnificent. Craig Gordon couldn't do anything about it, And then 2 minutes later, in fact less than 2 minutes later, Hearts were behind. Dzemali again, a similarly emphatic finish, but similarly ropey defending from Hearts. You maybe did fear the worst at that point. Hearts had a couple of counter attacks that didn't fully materialise, and in the end, no goals in the second half. It's finished FC Zurich 2, Hearts 1. Tynecastle will be rocking in a week's time.
Well, it will be, and it's a good result to take back. Obviously, Robbie Nielsen wouldn't have wanted to lose the game, but when I think he looks at the overall picture, you've seen a picture of him there actually, and he's smiling. 2-1, not a bad result in Europe away from home. And the way Hearts have started at Tynecastle this season, you could see them scoring a couple. It's all about the back door and how they defend, because they will have to defend much better than they did this evening. The two goals they lost were shocking, but they've really got a chance, and it's a huge evening for them next week.
Yeah, I think he'll fancy it. I think he'll be delighted to get out of Switzerland tonight with 2-1, Gordon. Got a great opportunity next week, but they'll need to play at their best, because on the evidence of that team tonight, they look not bad team. Yeah. They look a good outfit.
The positives would be some of the counter-attacking play threatening to a point. Your man Barry Mackay, yeah, again, and the penalty from Lauren Shankland. I know people say, "Oh, it's a, you know, it's only a penalty," but bit of pressure on away from home, and he stuck it away.
Yeah, yeah. They'll certainly need to work on the back line. I think that Robbie Nielsen, the one thing he will be disappointed tonight is the defending. They've been poor.
And a real sour note, because Craig Halkett did come out from the tunnel at half time in crutches. Now that can just be precautionary, just to keep weight off it, Mark. But you know, we can tell it wasn't necessary. It didn't look like an impact injury. It looked like something was twisted or landed on.
Well, it's never good, of course, when you come off. You've seen the player in some pain right away, but when he comes out in crutches, you know, it's not a good look at all. And they could do with him next week, because you could quite clearly see that, you know, that back three with Atkinson at right wing back came under some pressure and didn't deal with it particularly well. So it'll be a difficult night. They need to be better defensively, but they can certainly score against this team with Barry Mackay and Shankland in the form they're in.
Okay, we'll get some more reaction to that tomorrow night. Hearts fans, you can give us a call and let us know what you made of it. Anyone else who watched it as well, of course, more than welcome. And looking forward to tomorrow. We should be hearing from most of the managers round about the country as we build up to another great weekend. It all kicks off a nice 6 hour show for us on Saturday. Hibs Rangers, four big games thereafter, and Hearts back from Switzerland to go to Celtic Park on Sunday. The only answers you've got left to give me are
St Mirren,
St Mirren and Livy. Can you name the last player Rangers signed from Livy and from St Mirren? Because you've got the rest: from Aberdeen, Scott Wright; Dundee United, Stephen Thompson; Hearts, John Souter; Hibs, Stephen Whittaker; Killy, Jordan Jones; Motherwell, Jake Hastie; St Johnstone, Michael O'Halloran. And it's not applicable to Celtic and Ross County.
Go on, Mark, I'll give you your moment.
Well, Livy, yeah, had to go back a bit. Played against this guy at Livy. Tremendous header of a ball.
I think you've got it.
Marvin Andrews,
way back to 04.
St Mirren is killing me. Is it the McCoy signing? McCoy Steeler?
You were throwing names about in the break, and you haven't said it to me on air yet.
Broadfoot?
No.
It's not
Charlie
Broadfoot.
Adam?
It's not Kirk Broadfoot.
Charlie, what? It's not Charlie Adam.
Could have been.
Oh, we've actually said this.
No, I was just trying to tease you in, because I knew Broadfoot was the one that you were really confident about.
Oh, I was.
It's not Kirk Broadfoot.
It must be McCoy signing. Yeah.
What's that? Why? I don't know. What does that mean?
Because I'm very confident of this. I don't know the name, but I'm very confident. Fullback.
Andy Webster. No.
No.
No, he was Hearts.
He was Hearts, wasn't he?
Where did Kevin Kyle come from?
No. No.
Right, we're struggling with St Mirren really badly. Is it a left field one? Right out the.
Let's say play left field.
He had a nice trajectory at that point. Did he not go to St Mirren from Cowdenbeath, then went to Rangers?
Darren McGregor.
Well, never I get that.
Yes.
Well done, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson. Thank you for joining us. A busy show. I mean, we had a guy phoning in from the bath. It's another weird night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But we are back tomorrow with Hugh Evans and Kenny Miller. Looking forward to getting their reaction to that Hearts result and building up to the weekend. But they need you to do it. So take the number down if you're in any doubt. 01419511025. Call us tomorrow and we'll do our best to get you on. In the meantime, you would be as well staying right there, whether you're in the bath or not. Callum Gallagher is up next.